Proverbs 4:18 says, "The path of the righteous is like the sunrise at dawn, and it becomes brighter and brighter, brighter until the full day when the sun is overhead. This is the path of a truly righteous person, zero backsliding." So if your goal is to become like Jesus Christ, and all your ministry is not just ministry, but the overflow of a personal devotion to Christ, I want every message that I preach not to be something I just sit and study and prepare and come and vomit it all out on Sunday morning. That's rubbish. It's as bad as vomit. It must come out of a personal devotion to Jesus Christ. Every day of my life, I seek to live in a personal devotion to Jesus Christ, because that is the tree of life. That's the tree of life we read in 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3. Satan tried to draw Eve away from the tree of life. It's a personal devotion to Christ. So if I keep that personal devotion to Christ, overflow will be ministry. And then my path, here is how I know whether I'm on the right path. It'll become brighter and brighter until the day Christ comes back. Dawn, sunrise is when I'm born again. Christ comes into my heart. The darkness has gone. The sun has risen. Christ has come into my heart. And you all know the day when that happened. Like we sing, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. But from that day, most Christians live an up and down, and very often down more than up, backsliding life. That's not God's will. And the reason you do that is because you haven't seen the goal. You got into the wrong train. You went to a church that taught more about tithing and healing and ministry and things like that, and go to heaven when you die. And you did not get into the right train. You did not get into a church which taught you, you got to become like Christ. That is God's goal. God's goal is not taking us to heaven. God's goal is not healing us. God's goal is not making us rich. God's goal is not trying to make us possess earthly things or earthly blessings. God's goal is to make us like Christ. And if you had got into the right train, I'll tell you this, and if you had walked in that, stayed in that train, you would not have backslidden even one day in your life. All backsliding comes because we've lost sight of our goal. Maybe some of you got into the right train in the beginning and then got off at some station and got into some other train. Well, no wonder you're going in the wrong direction. But if you had stuck in the same train, however inconvenient it is, your life would have been so much more glorious. Because just like the sun, the picture is the sun rises. Have you ever seen the sun backsliding? Never happened. It comes higher and higher and higher and higher and higher and higher, till it comes perfectly, and that's the day when Christ comes back and we become 100% like Him. When He comes, 1 John 3:3 says we will be like Him. But from the time we are born again till the time we become like Him, the path God has ordained for us is brighter, 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 zero backsliding. That is God's will for you. You must believe it, at least today. Even if you're backslidden many times in your life, will you make a decision today? Lord, at least from today, I'm going to walk on the path of the righteous. I decided that quite some time ago. There will be zero backsliding in my life. You tell me with your own children. You know what backsliding means? Backsliding means a child going from fourth standard to third standard. Not staying in fourth standard. Staying in fourth standard itself is bad for 2-3 years. But going from fourth standard to third standard? I've never heard of a child doing that. But I've seen a lot of believers like that. They were at a certain level and they've gone down. The day they were converted, they never watched any filthy movies. Now they started watching filthy movies. They've gone from fourth standard to outside the school. Why is that? Either they're not really born again, they're not filled with the Holy Spirit because they were not eager to be filled with the Holy Spirit, or they sat in the wrong train. They were not challenged Sunday after Sunday to become more like Christ. They took it easy. Now, this verse in the New Testament is described in 2 Corinthians 3:18. Whenever I see an Old Testament verse, I try to find out what is the New Testament equivalent of that verse. Because everything in the Old Testament was fulfilled in the New Testament. So that's why I say an Old Testament verse by itself means nothing. For example, we talked about tithing, 10% income tax in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, God said, you must give 10% of what you get in your field or a flock, bring it to God. What is the New Testament equivalent of that? The New Testament equivalent of that is in Romans 12:1, present your body as a living sacrifice to God. Old Testament it was tithing, New Testament it is body. That the one thing God asks us to present to Him is not our money. It's our body. Your eyes, your tongue, your passions. Isn't it much easier to give money? That's why many people give money instead of their body. You tell me, supposing the Lord were to say to you, okay, in the next 1 month, you must never look at anything or anyone whom I don't want you to look at. Your eyes must be 100% pure. Your tongue must never get angry for 1 minute, not even 1 second. Never speak a rude word to anybody, just for 1 month. And you mustn't listen to any gossip. Turn away from it. Never go to a place where God doesn't want you to go. Present your body so that your mind also, it says also present your mind in the next verse, Romans 12:2. That you don't think about things which are unclean. Now, which do you want? Live like that for 1 month? Or, other alternative, give 10% of your monthly income. Which is easier? You tell me which is easier. People take the easy route. Lord, here's your 10%. Take it. Leave me to do what I like with my eyes, my tongue, my thoughts. I have to get angry with my wife and husband sometimes. Give me freedom to do that. I'll give you your 10% income tax. This is why so many Christians do not want the New Testament standard. They prefer to go to the Old Testament. Jesus said that. They drink the old wine and the new wine, Luke chapter 5, and they say the old wine is better. That is the reason for the pathetic standard of Christians in the world today and in India. The pathetic standard of Christians. You know, so many people worry about India having 2% Christians. I'm not worried. If India became 50% Christians, like the present 2%, there'd be more disgrace to the name of Christ. I say, thank God it's 2%. At least the disgrace to Christ's name is very little. But in this 2%, we want to gather, we want to ignore this 2%. We want people to be a light in the midst of darkness in India. And that's why God has raised up CFC, and that's why God's raised up many of you to be witnesses for Him. Okay, the New Testament equivalent of it in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. This is Proverbs 4:18 in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. This is the verse that tells us more clearly than any other verse in the Bible what the Holy Spirit's ministry is. The mirror here is referring to the Word of God, as we read in James chapter 1, verse 23 to 25. So, without a veil on our face, in the Old Testament it says there was a veil on their face. They couldn't see, just like the veil in the temple in the Old Testament. They could not go into God's presence. There was a veil. But now, when Jesus died, the veil was rent and torn into two. And Jesus was saying, the way is open, I have died. And the way is open now, right into God's presence. Without a veil, I go straight and look at God face to face. You know, God told Moses, nobody can look at me, they'll die. I go in and I say, Lord, I'm ready to die to myself so that I can look at your face. That's a promise in the New Testament. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall, what? See God. How can you see God? God told Moses, you cannot see my face and live. He said, yes, Lord, I don't want to live. I want to die to myself. And then you'll be able to see God inwardly. So, without this veil, it says we see in the scripture, we see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see it. When I read scripture, I'm not studying the scripture to prepare a sermon. In my younger foolish days, I did that. And foolish people still do it. They study the scripture to prepare a sermon to impress other people. Now, I'm not saying you should not study or you should not prepare a sermon. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that's not the number one reason why you should study the scriptures. Your number one reason to study the scriptures must be to see the glory of Jesus Christ in it. And then if you have to preach a sermon somewhere, go ahead and prepare for it. But that's not the main goal with which we study the scriptures. We look at the glory of Jesus in the scriptures. That's the first ministry of the Holy Spirit, that my eyes are open to see the glory of Jesus Christ. And then, I'll tell you honestly, in the last many, many years, again and again, God's been showing me different parts of the glory of Jesus Christ that I never saw. I mean, even last week I saw something which I'd never seen for 57 years in my study of the scriptures. It's like that when the Holy Spirit opens your eyes. And a familiar passage in the Gospels that I had read many times, and suddenly the Holy Spirit opened my eyes to see something there I had never seen for 57 years. Because it's like a well that never runs dry. Are you finding the scriptures like that? Some people say the Bible is boring. I say that's because you don't allow the Holy Spirit to teach you. You sit with your mind, which is a very boring teacher, and it will be boring. But if you get the Holy Spirit to teach you, it's a very interesting book. That's the first thing. But once the Holy Spirit shows you the glory of Jesus Christ, and I see my own need, like Isaiah, he said, "Oh Lord, I'm a sinful man." The Holy Spirit doesn't leave us there. It says he then changes us into that likeness. In other words, the Holy Spirit shows us, here's what Jesus was like. And I say, "Oh Lord, I'm so discouraged because I'm not like him." And the Holy Spirit says, "Don't get discouraged. I showed you that in order to make you like him. Allow me to make you like him." And I say, "Sure. Lord, every part of my life, take my eyes, my tongue, take every part of me and control me with your Holy Spirit. I want a spirit-controlled life, a spirit-controlled mind, a spirit-controlled body." And little by little, just like that train, if your ticket is to Delhi, every minute you're getting closer to Delhi. Every minute. I was so many, maybe, I don't know, 1,500 kilometers away when I started. But now, some minutes have gone by, an hour has gone by. It's only 1,400 kilometers now. Hey, I'm getting closer. And by the next day, I still haven't reached. Boy, it's only about 800 kilometers now. You see how any train you get into, if you're in the right train, every minute, every second, you're getting closer and closer to your destination. And that is the meaning of brighter and brighter. That if I'm going on the right path, the path of righteousness, every year I'll be a little more like Christ.